Hey everyone, welcome back. Ever catch yourself like looking back at those classic stories, the ones from childhood, and realizing they might be a little more complicated than you first thought?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, today we're doing that with the Book of Exodus, but with a twist.
Yeah.
We're leaving the faith-based perspective behind for this one.
Exactly. We'll be looking at it through the lens of history and ethics, even a little science.
Ooh, that's got to be interesting.
It really is. And our source material for this is an analysis from this website called The Bible Explained from a Secular and Skeptical Perspective.
Okay, cool. Before we dive in too deep, anyone need a quick refresher on the Exodus story itself?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay, so it's basically about the Israelites enslaved in Egypt, right?
Right.
And then you've got Moses leading them to freedom. There are the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea.
Lots of drama.
Yeah, total drama. But here's where things get, well, interesting. When we look at it through history and archaeology, the whole thing gets a little less clear-cut.
Yeah, for instance, you'd think an exodus that big would have left some serious traces, right?
Right.
Like remnants of big encampments, maybe tools, or even mass graves if millions of people just up and vanished from Egypt.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be something. But mainstream archaeology and history, well, they don't really back up that whole grand scale exodus.
Yeah.
No mention of it in Egyptian records,
Yeah.
no inscriptions, and nothing from archaeology really points to like a sudden disappearance of that many people.
We've looked at Egyptian documents from that time period, even records from nearby civilizations. We've even used carbon dating, and still nothing really backs up this big Exodus event.
So, what are we supposed to think then? Do they mean the whole story's made up?
Not necessarily. Some historians think that maybe instead of one massive Exodus, there were smaller groups of people migrating over time.
Okay.
And that could explain why the Israelites ended up in Canaan.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've looked at the history part. Now let's get into the ethics, because this is where it gets really thought-provoking. There are parts of Exodus that just don't sit well with our values today, like the plagues, for example.
Yeah.
You've got the Nile turning into blood frogs everywhere, and that total darkness plague, it's pretty intense.
Those plagues bring up some serious ethical questions. Even if we ignore the whole historical accuracy thing, the idea of a deity causing that much suffering even to innocent firstborns, well, it just doesn't fit with the idea of a compassionate God.
I see what you mean.
It makes you think, like, how can that kind of devastation be seen as divine justice? And what about this whole chosen people idea? How does that line up with our modern emphasis on equality and human rights?
It's definitely a complex issue.
Yeah.
And speaking of things that are hard to wrap your head around, there's the parting of the Red Sea. How is that even possible scientifically?
Well, there have been some attempts to explain the plagues with natural phenomena. Things like volcanic eruptions could explain the darkness and red tide, which is that algae bloom that turns the water red, could explain the water turning to blood.
Oh, interesting. So maybe there's some science behind those parts.
Maybe. However, when you look at the Red Sea parting the sheer scale and how sudden it happened, according to the Bible, well, that's just not really scientifically possible.
Yeah.
I mean, natural events can temporarily expose land bridges, like when the wind pushes water away, but we've never seen anything even close to what's described in Exodus.
Right. So we have this powerful story so ingrained in our culture. But it just doesn't quite add up historically, ethically, or scientifically. It's like we're dealing with two totally different realities.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. Yeah,
Yeah.
it really is a fascinating puzzle. This is where exploring these stories from a secular perspective gets really interesting. It makes us confront these gaps and think about the deeper meaning behind the Exodus story.
That's a really good point. And it makes you wonder how these different interpretations affect how people view their own faith and beliefs. If the literal interpretation of Exodus doesn't really hold up, what does that mean for people who see it as a core part of their faith?
That's a tough question, and there's no easy answer. Some people might find that looking at the text in a more metaphorical or symbolic way helps them reconcile what they believe with the historical and scientific evidence. Others might stick with a literal interpretation and prioritize their faith over empirical proof. It's a personal journey.
So it's not about ditching faith entirely, but more about acknowledging the complexities and being open to different perspectives.
Exactly. The great thing about using a secular and skeptical approach is that it encourages critical thinking. Being open-minded and wrestling with tough questions without just accepting things blindly or because of dogma.
Instead of shying away from the tough stuff, we're diving right into those gray areas and maybe even finding some new insights along the way. I
Exactly.
like that. Speaking of thought-provoking aspects of the Exodus story, let's talk about the Ten Commandments. They're probably one of the most influential moral codes ever. Right?
Absolutely. The Ten Commandments have influenced legal systems, ethical frameworks, even societal norms all over the world. Their impact goes way beyond religion. Even today, they're a big part of discussions about morality and law.
But when we examine them through a secular lens, some interesting questions pop up. Some of the commandments, like thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not kill, seem universal. But others, like remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, are very specific to a particular religious tradition.
That's an important distinction. It shows the difference between moral principles, which have a broader impact, and religious rules, which are often tied to specific doctrines or beliefs.
So from a secular viewpoint, we can appreciate the lasting value of those universal moral principles without necessarily subscribing to the religion they came from.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that the Ten Commandments didn't appear out of thin air. They came about in a specific historical and cultural context, and they reflect the norms and values of that time.
So we need to consider the culture they were written in.
Right. For example, the commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Well, that reflects a patriarchal society where women were seen as property. Today, we might see that commandment more as a condemnation of envy and greed, not a literal rule about desire.
That makes you think about how even seemingly timeless moral codes need to be understood and interpreted within their historical context.
For sure. And this process of critical analysis helps us understand the lasting principles while also acknowledging how morals and values have changed over time.
Okay, so we've talked about the historical issues, the ethical challenges, the scientific discrepancies, and even the impact on faith and belief. What else should we think about when we're looking at Exodus through this secular lens?
There's one key aspect we haven't talked about yet, the literary and symbolic side of the text. It's easy to get lost in the historical and ethical debates, but we can't forget that Exodus is a story. And like all stories, it's meant to convey meaning and make us feel something.
You're right. It's not just a dry historical record. There's artistry and symbolism woven into the story.
Exactly. Think about the parting of the Red Sea. You can see it as a powerful metaphor for overcoming huge obstacles. The journey through the wilderness where the Israelites wandered for 40 years before reaching the promised land that represents the challenges and trials we all face in life. And the Ten Commandments, aside from their legal function, they embody a set of ideals to strive for.
So even if we question whether the events literally happened, we can still appreciate the deeper meanings and the symbolism in the story.
Absolutely. This approach allows us to engage with Exodus on multiple levels. It's a historical narrative, an ethical framework, a source of cultural inspiration, and a work of art.
That reminds me of something I read about how some scholars see the Bible as a collection of myths. Not that they're untrue, but more like profound stories that capture fundamental truths about being human.
That's a great comparison. Myths often explore universal themes. Good versus evil, creation and destruction, the search for meaning. They give us insight into the human mind and our shared experiences.
So even if we strip away the literal interpretation of Exodus, we're still left with all this rich symbolic language and timeless themes that continue to speak to us today.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the most amazing things about approaching these ancient texts from a secular point of view. We're not limited by strict interpretations or literalism. We're free to explore the layers of meaning, to question, to analyze, and to find our own personal connection to these stories that have shaped civilizations for thousands of years.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. You discover new dimensions and complexities with each layer. Yeah, it really is amazing to think about how a story that old can still cause so much debate and have so many different interpretations. It shows you how powerful these ancient texts are, even when we're looking at them from a secular point of view.
It really does. Even without traditional interpretations, Exodus gives us a unique look into human nature. It deals with themes of power and freedom, justice, and that search for meaning, themes that are just as important now as they were centuries ago.
And thinking about those themes, I'm curious about Moses as a leader. He's usually portrayed as this strong, decisive guy who takes on Pharaoh and leads the Israelites to freedom. But what does a secular lens tell us about his role and what motivated him?
That's a great question. When we step outside the purely religious framework and look at Moses, we see him as a complex leader dealing with political, social, even personal challenges. His showdown with Pharaoh can be seen as this power struggle, a clash between different ideologies and systems of governing.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it becomes a story about human ambition and strategy.
Right.
The whole complexity of leadership, not just a divinely ordained mission.
Exactly. And his role as a lawgiver bringing the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. Well, that can be seen as an attempt to create social order, a moral code for this new community.
So it adds another layer to the story. It's not just about divine revelation, but also about that human need to create structure and find meaning in a chaotic world.
Right. And then there's the fact that they wandered in the desert for 40 years before reaching the Promised Land. That could be interpreted as a reflection of the challenges and setbacks that are always part of any journey of liberation and self-discovery.
It's a good reminder that freedom and progress don't happen overnight. It takes perseverance, adaptation, and a willingness to learn from mistakes.
Absolutely. So even though the Exodus story might not match up perfectly with history or science, it's still a really powerful story that connects with us on a deep human level.
It's like we've been on this incredible adventure digging through history, ethics, and science, all while trying to understand this epic story that's fascinated people for centuries. It's a story that keeps challenging us and inspiring us.
It is. And I think the most important thing to remember is that there's no one right way to interpret Exodus. It's a story with many sides, and you can approach it from so many angles, whether you see it as a literal historical account, a metaphor, or a source of ethical inspiration. The key is to engage with it thoughtfully and respectfully.
I love that. In the end, it's not about getting all the answers. It's about asking the right questions. It's about broadening our understanding, challenging what we think we know, and maybe even learning something new about ourselves along the way.
I couldn't have said it better. And maybe that's the most valuable thing we get from exploring Exodus through a secular lens. It encourages us to think critically, to embrace the complexity, and to appreciate the power of these ancient stories, even as we recognize their limitations and the fact that they can be interpreted in many ways.
As we wrap up our look at Exodus, I'm left with this thought. If a story written thousands of years ago can still spark such lively debate and inspire so many different interpretations, what does that tell us about how powerful and relevant it still is?
It tells us a lot, doesn't it? It suggests that these ancient texts, even when we look at them through a secular lens, still hold up a mirror to humanity. They reflect our deepest fears, our greatest hopes, and our constant search for meaning in a world that's always changing.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And with that, I want to thank all of you, our listeners, for coming along on this journey with us. We hope you found our exploration of Exodus insightful and thought-provoking. Until next time, keep those minds open and keep exploring.